Now, President Trump tweeted yesterday that he was shutting down negotiations on a new economic relief package that the White House and Congress had been working on for the last couple of months, saying he won't sign any multi-trillion dollar legislation until after the election. That announcement made the stock market drop several hundred points almost immediately. Trump later said that he's open to signing more narrowly focused bills for things like direct checks of $1,200 to many Americans, paycheck protection money for small businesses, and support for the airline industry. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your reaction to President Trump shutting down the prospect of another big economic relief package? Do you think Congress should pass narrower bills focused on, say, restaurants and bars and tourism, the airline industry, direct checks to people unemployed? How is your personal economy doing in this year of the COVID-19 pandemic? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Menzi Chin is a professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs and Department of Economics. He's co-author of the book Lost Decades, The Making of America's Debt Crisis and the Long Recovery. Menzi, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
Well, before we dig into what's going on in Congress and the White House when it comes to the economy, what is your current read on how the economy is doing, six, 7 months into this pandemic?
Well, I think most macroeconomists would agree that it's been a remarkable and unique experience in that we've had an unprecedented drop in output. The growth rate was something on the order of negative 30% annualized in the second quarter. And now we're experiencing an incredibly rapid increase, possibly in the order of 30% quarter that's just finished. And now, you have to be careful with percentages. So this will not take us back to where we were at the end of last year. Even with the most optimistic readings, we're probably going to be about 5% down on the year relative to last year. And so the one thing we can say is in this fourth quarter, which we've just entered, everybody was predicting that we would have remarkably slow growth, relatively speaking, that the recovery would slow down a lot. And the fact that we have such uncertainty with respect to policy going forward only makes this time period more critical.
I've seen some research suggesting that the real bad news is kind of hidden under the big numbers, that the impacts of this recession caused by COVID-19 were not evenly distributed. It hit people at the bottom of the ladder especially hard, and they're the slowest to bounce back here. Is that what you're seeing too?
Yes, I think that's pretty much the situation. I want to tell people that in some ways we've experienced the best of times. It's hard to believe, but the best of times in this crisis, because both the Federal Reserve and the federal government stepped in quickly and with massive support, trillions of dollars very quickly to support the economy through the summer. And so that's what's cushioned both households, both, medium income and low income, somewhat. But a lot of those things are petering out. The Paycheck Protection Program, the enhanced unemployment benefits have all ended. And so we are entering this period where it's going to be a lot worse for a lot of people. And the hits will be particularly pronounced on those at the lower income end. That's exactly correct.
Talking to economist Menzi Chin from UW-Madison, looking at the nationwide economy during the COVID-19 pandemic and prospects for and the possible need for more relief efforts from the federal government. Yesterday, a Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said, hey, go big. Err on the side of going too big with more stimulus, saying not providing any new relief could have tragic consequences. What did you make of what the Federal Reserve Chair had to say?
Well, that made perfect sense, and it's pretty much in line with what he said in the past, except perhaps a little bit more forcefully. The fact of the matter is, with Federal Reserve's pushing of the Fed funds rate to essentially zero and going full tilt on bond buying bonds of the federal government, there's not a lot more that the Federal Reserve can do. You've seen some of the stimulus already show up from the monetary policy in asset prices, both the stock market and the housing market. But they've shot their bullet there. And now it's pretty much up to fiscal policy to make sure that the recession doesn't become extended, or that we relapse into another recession or downturn. Pretty much fiscal policy is the only game in town. And that's why he argued for greater fiscal stimulus.
Now, the CARES Act came quickly. It was pretty big. Some people said, you know, why did so many people get those economic stimulus checks? Why did the big businesses get so much money? Is it possible to have, now that we've had some time behind us, a more crafted stimulus where we use that money, whatever amount we end up talking about, more efficiently to help the people and small businesses, say, who need it the most?
I think it's possible. I mean, it's possible to break into two parts the sort of issues that have come up so far. One is, you know, did you allocate the funds appropriately? And then there's the other of implementation. Did some people get the money that they shouldn't have got the money? Let me leave those aside. Given how fast this was all done, it was pretty amazing that it was done as well as it was. Going forward, I think we should look closely at which sectors really need support. And in addition, you know, what policies will mitigate the continuation or the growth of the infection rates. So, you know, people, macroeconomists have been saying for a long time, you know, you can't solve completely the economic problem without solving the public health problem. And so whatever we do, we want to make sure that, you know, we're not encouraging people to make the transmission of the disease more rapid. So, for instance, we probably want to support the restaurant sector, but we might not want to encourage them to open up. Maybe we just want to support them so they don't feel the need to open up, because we know that indoor dining, bars and so forth are a key means by which you enhance the pandemic. So that's one area in which we can think about things. The other one would be to say, yes, which sectors are hurting very much and are unlikely to be able to weather things on their own, and low-income households, but also states and localities, those governments are going to be incredibly cash-strapped going forward as tax revenues remain depressed. And that's one sticking point between the administration and the House Democrats. It's the amount that's going to be transferred to the states. And what we do know is from the last big recession, the recession that ended in June of 2009, is that the fact that the states and localities couldn't spend a lot is something that made the recovery much more slow and prolonged than it otherwise would be.
We're talking to Menzie Chin, professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison, looking at the latest on COVID-19 relief from the federal government. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How has the coronavirus-related recession affected you and your family? Do you want to see more federal relief? If so, for who? For what kind of businesses? For what people? For unemployed people, for example? Do you need some help in your personal finances or in your business, whether you own it or work for it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Menzie Chin, professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison, talking about the latest news on economic relief after President Trump says he won't sign a new coronavirus relief package, instead later calling for Congress to pass smaller bills. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Eli is with us in La Crosse. Eli, hello.
Hi. I just want to say that I'm happy that he's not going to go sign another big stimulus bill, because we already doubled our normal debt load for this year alone, and certain people within the political workings want to now triple that. We're already extended $1 trillion in debt. How do we expect to pay for all of this?
Eli, thanks a lot for the call. Worries, Menzie, about how much this is costing us, how much is building up our debt?
We spent trillions of dollars already. I would say that back in 2018, when the economy was booming, we essentially gave a tax cut of several trillion dollars on net to people who primarily didn't need it. I'm a little wondering about the worries about debt accumulation. Now, the thing is, we could say, well, let's ratchet back on spending now. But what's going to happen is that you're going to have a lot more people being unemployed, dropping out of the labor force. You'll have a lot more firms that go out of business. That process is just starting now, given that the Paycheck Protection Program and other grants like that have expired. And so these are things that are going to have a negative impact on our ability to pay in the future. If we can avoid those things, then we'd be able to sustain a greater amount of debt. I mean, remember, this package that's being debated here is, in some sense, you know, it's between $1.6 trillion from the administration to $2.2 trillion, where it's cut down from $3.4 that the Democrats originally passed in their HEROES Act back in the spring. You know, you have to say you don't want to cut back on support too early. We saw what happened when you did that back in 2009, 2010. You had a very slow recovery and you had a lot of people drop out of the labor force for long stretches of time. You're wasting a lot of human capital at that point. So I would say these are things that you do want to invest in. And if you spend on things that we desperately need, like infrastructure, it won't pay for itself, but it might almost come close. Final point, interest rates in inflation-adjusted terms are close to, if not zero, for the federal government. So you got to ask yourself, do I want to risk the long-term harm that comes from extending this downturn, which is the biggest we've ever seen so far, or do you want to risk a little bit of extra debt when the cost of financing that debt for the federal government is essentially zero?
Eli, thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Martina now in Kachina. Martina, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I had followed the first CARES Act bill, and I remember that Mitch McConnell was talking about taking away the ability for workers to sue their employer if they get sick. And I don't remember, I kind of stopped following it after that. And I don't remember, do you know if that was included in the CARES Act or is that being talked about again? And also, are these bills able to override regular OSHA regulations? I mean, these workers are being exposed and getting sick. We all know that. And they're just supposed to, you know, oh, well, too bad to hear some Tylenol. I mean,
Martina, you know? Thanks a lot for calling in. Menzie, she's concerned about worker safety and how these relief packages affect it.
Well, I think that's a real concern. To my knowledge, which is probably not complete, it's true that the Republicans wanted liability insurance in the sense that they didn't want to have companies be able to be sued. I don't know what the resolution of that debate was, but I don't recall it being put into the original CARES Act. And I think that might be a sticking point going forward. It has been a sticking point.
I believe that's correct, yes.
And it's very hard to figure out, you know, exactly what's in whatever bill that they're considering, given that minute by minute, the administration's position changes on what they're willing to sign on or not sign on to. But it's true that so far, the failure to enforce the health and safety regulations is essentially by diktat. That is, the federal government has just, through the executive branch, has just refused to enforce those actions. I don't think in practice what happened was legislation was passed. It's just the federal government went ahead and overturned those regulations in the short term.
Thanks for calling in, Martina. Menzie, we're talking about different things that Congress or the president might or might not do and how money could be best spent. But looking at the political side of things, do you expect anything to happen?
Well, this is a little bit outside of my area of expertise. I mean, I can say for certain that Wall Street economists who are paid money to make assessments have gotten more and more pessimistic about whether there'll be ability to come through with something. The president has recently, by recently, I mean today, has suggested piecemeal approach, which is to say, okay, let's bail out the airlines. Let's give a little bit more Paycheck Protection Program out there. You know, so sort of independent packages. Whether the Democrats would go along with that is another matter, because for them, of course, that'd be giving up the leverage that they would want, for instance, to make sure that the states and localities have additional funding. I mean, it's important to say, you know, the gap that's expected for the states is something like $550 billion in terms of their budgets over the next couple of years. Maybe a little bit less than that now. Things have turned out a little bit better than expected. But, you know, states and localities face this constraint. They can't typically borrow to cover overspending or spending in excess of their revenues. And so they're going to be forced to cut back like they did in the aftermath of the Great Recession. And so the Democrats have wanted more funds than the Republicans have been willing to put forward. And so given that these are different incentives for different groups, and on top of it, it's not clear to me that the Republicans are united between factions of the Senate Republicans and the administration. It's looking grim for a deal before the election. But of course, these are special times, and who knows what could come out at the last minute.
And briefly, in our last minute, Menzi, what are you watching for next?
Well, I am watching for what happens in terms of some sort of relief. I mean, I think we are in a particularly precarious point in this recovery. And without more support, it could be the case that we go to zero growth in the fourth quarter, possibly a relapse in going into the new year, exactly because we have a whole bunch of other effects going on, a whole bunch of other forces, including perhaps the resurgence of the pandemic in the cold months. Put that together with faltering consumer spending because no more transfers, and the states being forced to tighten their belts. And I think we want to be very careful about how we proceed on fiscal policy going forward.
Menzi, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you. Pleasure to be.
Menzi Chin is a professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison's La Follette School of Public Affairs. He joined us for a look at the nation's economic outlook and the prospects for different kinds of federal stimulus.